4ZPH Mobile.
KO4H Gex.
Patrick, how's it going?
Just trying to get to where I can switch vehicles and start making my way home. How about you?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm trying to make my way home too. I'm flying solo tonight. My wife is off to see my sister-in-law, so I'm trying to find a way to feed myself and get home.
Jax, to sync up there. Getting to experience that bachelor life again, right?
I don't want to live it long-term anymore, but sometimes I miss that life a little bit where I could just, you know, pick up and do my thing. But I've been married now for 7 years, so I'm quite adjusted to get permission before I do certain things now.
Yeah, I've been married, 29 years now.
More practice than I have.
It'll be 29 years in March, let's put it that way.
Shifting gears there. I drive a manual vehicle, so sometimes I have to pause and shift gears.
Sometimes I have to pause and pay attention to what I'm doing. This truck is moving around on you a little bit.
I imagine so. That's probably a challenge, I'm sure. I guess, how is it in the wind? You know, if it's pretty windy, do you have a rough ride?
It's horrible in the wind.
I thought it might have been. I used to drive a, it wasn't anything near the size of your truck, but, you know, I used to drive a SUV. I had a Toyota 4Runner, and it had a little 3-inch lift on it and 35-inch tires, and when the wind blew, I knew it. I'm in a smaller car now, so the wind doesn't bother me as much anymore.
Well, the smallest thing that we own is my wife's Ford Escape. And then I got a 2000 Ford Excursion and a 97 F-350 crew cab. So I don't own anything small that I drive on a regular basis.
That you do have some larger vehicles, it sounds like. So you have a Ford Excursion. Those are pretty neat vehicles.
My daily is the Excursion. It's the small one of the bunch.
Yeah, so it's if that's a small one for your day, you got a pretty big vehicle for your small vehicle. The one you have, is it one of the years that had the diesel engine in it?
1000 with a 7.3 in it. And hang on, man, I'm coming up on some kind of accident or something here. David, KO4HX, pretty serious accident there on 11. Somebody rear-ended one with out touching the brakes.
Hopefully everybody's all right over there. That's not, that doesn't sound fun. I got rear-ended one time on 26. I was coming up from the coast around about, we were on the way back from the coast. I think it was Hardeeville on 26, or maybe it was, I'm sorry, maybe it was 95. Either way, truck never stopped until it was just too late.
It's like somebody was stopping to make a left-hand turn and somebody behind them didn't see them stopping. But I didn't see the ambulance there yet, but they could be on their way. It's way out here, that's for sure.
Highway 11, whereabouts on 11 are you?
Let me see what I'm coming up on here. Let's see. Chestnut Ridge, so just before, heading toward 25, so just before you get there.
Yep, yeah, that is a pretty rural area. Figured out there. But yeah, we were coming back. I think we had been to Hilton Head, and we were coming back on the interstate, and it had been raining, and traffic came to a stop. And I came to a stop and was at a dead standstill, and looked in the rearview mirror and saw a, I believe, if my memory serves correctly, it was an F-150. And I told my wife and her sisters, I said, he's not going to stop. He's not going to stop. And he didn't stop. And he stopped, but it was just too late. And he gave us a pretty good little bump. So that can change how you drive when something like that happens. You start watching your rearview mirror a little more.
Landing an escape route, no matter where you're at.
Too. That's true. I have one other time I was on my way to Atlanta, and a vehicle was merging, and well, he was in the left lane and he was going to merge into the right lane where I was, and I had just barely seen him, and I had to jump out of the road on 85 between Greenville and Atlanta. So yeah, escape route, it's always good to know where you can escape safely.
Sure. Oh, so I heard you talking to Shane last night. You're taking some classes for something. I didn't catch what it was, though.
Yeah, I'm in the master's program at USC Upstate. So I've only got four classes left. So I'm counting them down. I'm just taking them one course per semester, and it's worked out pretty well at that pace. But right now I'm in a digital forensics course, so it should be an interesting course.
It'd be pretty interesting. I used to always say when I was having to work behind another mechanic on something they couldn't fix, we playing forensic mechanic now, trying to figure out what they done.
Yeah, that's a good term. It's applicable too. Yeah, there's. It seems like it doesn't matter what trade or profession you're in. You have to keep the mentality that you got to do a job, and do the job so that it'll be easier for the next guy, because more often than not, you might be the next guy.
Well, I did work on a lot of repeat business because I just had clientele that bring me their trucks. And even when I was at the dealer, they just bring it in, drop it off, throw me the keys, and tell me what's wrong with it, and call me when it's done. Yeah, that kind of thing. So I've seen a lot of that. Typically try to put things back exactly like they come from the dealership. Every nut and bolt went back in the same place. Stud went back there. If something broke, tried to take care of it, and just tried to make it right. That way my life was easier. There was certain things, clamps and things, you turned around a different way because I was working with it with the body on it, not off of it.
Yeah, I imagine those could have been some of the more difficult cases when they just hand you the keys and say, hey, call me when it's fixed. That really does sound like a sort of a forensic mechanic task there. But it's interesting, you know, troubleshooting. And that's something we do a lot in my field in technology. There's lots of troubleshooting. But troubleshooting happens in every field. And the thing that often is lacking, it seems like, is sound troubleshooting. Sometimes, you know, sometimes people, when they're working on something or trying to figure something out, they just throw parts at it, or you know, they make a wild guess. You know, a more analytic approach to troubleshooting is, in my experience, always fruitful.
If nothing else, it was the education experience out of it, and that way you knew for next time that you could get better at it or faster at it.
WB4ZBH. Yep. Yeah, you're right. That's the other key piece is remembering remembering experiences. So troubleshooting is really the key to unlocking the answer you might need next time. So, yeah, mechanics, that's a tough job sometimes. I'm not cut out for mechanics. I would be a very, very hungry person if I were a mechanic. But both my brothers are mechanics, and they're good at it, so I lean on them sometimes.
Where do they work at?
Two younger brothers. I guess I call him the middle brother. He is he's a mechanic for Caterpillar, so he works on earth movers and bulldozers and all those heavy machinery. And then my youngest brother, he's worked at a couple of different places. He worked at International there, right at 14 and 85. And then for a while he worked at Southeast Industrial. But right now he is running his own business. So he's taking clients and helping, maintain and do mechanics work for various people in various companies. A lot of the larger truck mechanics, so dump trucks, things like this.
Oh, may run into them one day, you never know. But it's a good field to be in a lot of times, especially with Caterpillar. I'm sure that's a good place to work over at Blanchard. I'm assuming that's where he's at, down in Greenville.
He's at Blanchard, and he's been working there. Goodness, I don't know. It's probably been at least 12 years he's been working for Blanchard.
Somewhat, then, anyway.
If he had a radio that he could listen to this, I would say I don't know what they see in him. But, yeah, I think they're pleased with him, and I think he's pleased with them. He's got a service truck and he goes all around, and I think it's a good job for him. It's at least good enough for him to be able to support his own three boys and wife, so I think it's working out pretty well for him.
Good for them both. Like I said, it's a good career, and it's a tough career, though, working on vehicles or machinery and stuff like that. It can be a tough one. Physically demanding on your body, too.
There goes another gear shift change there. Yeah, I'm certain it can be demanding, both physically and mentally. I just, I'm glad that people are in that profession. I just don't know that I have the patience for it. I don't cuss, but I'm afraid it would drive me to cuss and make me very hungry. I don't know that I could earn a very good living at it. I don't mind tinkering with, maintenance on vehicles, oil changes and things like that, but, the approach to troubleshooting, replacing parts, and then, verifying that everything's working well, I think it might get to me.
Handle working on a computer and diagnosing it, you can handle working on a vehicle. The patience part of it, anyway. That would try my patience more.
Thing is, you nearly have to be a mechanic and a technical professional at the same time. It's crazy how, there's been some advancements, I think, in combustion engine and in the way that everything surrounding the combustion engine is now electrical or driven by a computer or, things like this. And there's so many electrical peripherals on cars now. They all have backup cameras and front cameras and side cameras and all these things. It's like, man, you have to know some electronics to deal with cars nowadays.
And the multiplexing in it is what is probably the most complex part of it to deal with, where everything talks to this piece and they're all using the same network system and wires, but they're talking at different times, and trying to get all that figured out. It can be pretty aggravating. Like I said, I quit turning wrenches in 2015. It was bad enough then. So I still deal with it a little bit today, but not on the scale that I was.
Yeah, it's certainly a challenge, I'm sure. And you know, it sounds like you're in a good position where you're at. It sounds like you enjoy it too. So I mean, that's the big part. And sometimes that's the hard part, to find, you know, work that's both productive and enjoyable. But anyways, Patrick, I'm gonna drop out of here. I've just got home and got parked, so I've got to run in and let the dog out and eat my supper here. So it was nice talking with you. Thanks for riding with me. Hope you have a good evening. KO4HKX, this is WB4ZPH 73.
David, that's perfect timing. I just pulled off 11 on the road. I parked the truck and made my vehicle switch, and I'm going to head home. But good to talk to you. Enjoyed the ride along also. KO4HKX, and I'll be clear for now. 73.